truth. Happy Monday, Milwaukee. Good afternoon. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped in on this Monday afternoon, and y'all already know what Monday means around here. It is Mental Health Monday. Before we hop into the segment for today, I want to again send a huge shout out to everyone who attended the Truth Family Fest this weekend. Had an amazing time. Like, anytime we're able to meet our listeners in person and put names with faces is always a pleasure. It was some amazing food. Apparently, you know, my brother Ray Nitty has a new addiction to ice cream and cookies. Ray was walking around. He had four cookies, four things of ice cream, and a cookie in his pocket. Hey, bro, we gotta figure out some different sponsors next year so we can make sure Ray stay on his diet plan. But no, shout out to the whole crew, Ben, jamming with Ben, Shannon, Ray, Cece, Homer, Bailey, Bigol. It was an amazing event, man. We really, really enjoyed ourselves. Shout out to all of the vendors who were there. I even got a free massage. Yes, I did. Got me a good old massage, and it was well needed. So yeah, shout out to everyone who attended the Truth Family Fest. It was a lot of different events happening this past weekend, community events, and I love to see it. It was so much going on, so many resources spreading around the entire city. And it was just beautiful, man. It was a day that felt good. The sun was shining, just overall an amazing weekend. So again, today is Mental Health Monday. You guys already know that whenever I present something to you, I'm not talking at you. I'm talking with you, because this is advice for myself. And this is something that I've either worked on already or am currently working on. And obviously, a lot of these topics are personal to a certain degree, not specific to a situation. But as a human being, we all have faced different issues when it comes to mental health. For me specifically, this year has been rough. You know, I lost an uncle in April, lost my daughter's best friend in May, lost someone else who was close to me. And then a week ago, lost two people back to back. So while going back to work because school started, while having a freshman in college, while having an adult young black male as a son in this city and a 9-year-old, right? Two jobs. It's all types of things that's happening in my life, in you guys' life, to where I truly believe that we have to talk through some of the things that we're dealing with silently. And the reason why I do want to tap into a lot today is because whether it's work, whether it's relationship or parenthood, we all are struggling with something mental-wise. We just always aren't willing to talk about it openly. And it's okay. So again, if you are in your car, at work, wherever you are, you know, let's have this conversation. Let's be authentic with each other and let's try and work through it. So I want to do something a little different with the mental health today. I was thinking about how we always talk about peace, especially on social media. Everything is protect your peace, cut them off. Y'all know my favorite word. I'm blocking them, right? Like I'm 8 feet tall in a paint. Block, 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 right? Get rid of everybody with bad energy. Leave the job. Leave the relationship. Stop talking to the friend. Go where you are celebrated. And I have to tell you, you know, some years back, I did this so much and looked up and was like, my life is empty because I had kicked everybody out, right? And it made me realize that I can't control what other people do, but I can control what I do. And there are absolutely situations where walking away is the healthiest decision by far, right? There are certain environments that are just simply unhealthy. There are abusive relationships. There are friendships that have run its course. There are jobs that ultimately aren't worth losing yourself over. But most importantly, real life is a lot more complicated than a meme, because sometimes you just can't leave. Right? You just have to stick through it. And ultimately, the reason being is because A, You know, you have to mature in certain situations. B, if you're spiritual, you already know you got to walk through the fire. You have to walk through the fire because there is a lesson in it. And the lesson sometimes isn't necessarily pertaining to the person on the opposite end, but rather you. The lesson is for you alone. You might have somebody at your workplace who gets underneath your skin because of whatever reason, but you have to remind yourself, hey, I have a mortgage, I have children, I got rent, bills, responsibilities, right? You can't walk into work at 9 in the morning, get irritated at 9:17, and then quit at 9:23 because Facebook or Instagram told you to protect your peace. And some of y'all would love to, absolutely. And let's be honest, somebody that's listening right now probably has typed their resignation email in their head multiple times, right? Knowing exactly what you're going to say, how you're going to say it, who you're going to tell off, so on and so on. But grown-up life says, adulthood says, what are we actually going to do? And that's the conversation I want today. How to protect your peace when you have to remain where you are, right? Again, that's work, that's motherhood, fatherhood, friendships, relationships, all of the above. How do you protect your peace when the person aggravating you outranks you, if we're talking workplace? How do you protect your peace when the stress isn't coming from an enemy, but is coming from being a parent, right? We know you can't block your children. Now, I go on moments where I will mute my family group chat for a certain amount of time if my children are, in their words, overstimulating me. Absolutely. Listen, don't bother me after this time. Figure it out. The only person that's excluded from that is my baby, Callie Wally, because she's perfect. She absolutely does no harm whatsoever. So she gets the bypass. But the moral of the story is you can't resign from parenthood because somebody is getting on your nerves, right? How do you protect your peace when it's your friend? How do you protect your peace when it's someone you love? How do you protect your peace when there are unanswered questions in a relationship and your mind keeps trying to solve something that nobody has actually explained to you? And the bigger question is peace really peace if everyone around you has to behave perfectly for you to have it? Meaning, it does not matter where you are in the world. It does not matter where you are physically, right? You should be able to have a sense of peace internally that cannot be disrupted by anyone, even if they're attempting to antagonize you. Because let's be clear, there are people who have spirits inside of them and they don't even understand that they have spirits inside of them. And they have insecurities and they have thoughts that replays in their minds. They have assumptions, all of these things. And then they create, it's called delusion. They create whatever they create in their head because of how they're feeling. And then they take it out on you, right? Some of y'all deal with this with family members, with lovers, with friends. And at the end of the day, the greatest lesson I was ever taught was no matter where I go, the peace should remain inside of me. I should be able to be peaceful in every situation, in every environment, especially when it comes to things being sent to attempt to destroy my peace, right? So think about that for a minute. If I can only be peaceful when everyone likes me, when everyone understands me, when everyone responds how I want, my children cooperates, my partner communicates perfectly, my friends never disappoint me, and nobody ever at work ever challenges me, then that's not peace. That's environment control, right? And none of us controls life like that. And that's a harsh reality. You cannot control the behavior of others, right? That goes back to the let them theory that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. If you guys haven't checked out that show, go to 101.7 The Truth on YouTube, tap in and check out the let them theory, where you're allowing people to just be themselves. Obviously, you're not allowing them to mistreat you, but you are initially allowing them to be themselves. So today we are talking about what I call protecting your peace without abandoning your position. That position is at work. That position is as a parent, relationships, friendships, and most importantly, the position within yourself. Because sometimes the battle isn't removing the difficult situation. Sometimes the battle is making sure the difficult situation doesn't remove you from you. Let me say that again. Sometimes the battle isn't removing the situation, right? Sometimes the battle is making sure that the difficult situation does not remove you from you, meaning that whatever is sent to destroy your peace, it is not allowing you to act out of character, right? And this is actually connected to the mental health news right now. There was a new research highlighted a few days ago examining occupational health. And one of the conclusions really caught my attention. The message basically said when people's mental health is suffering because of work, we cannot always put the entire responsibility on the employee to fix themselves. In other words, maybe breathing exercises aren't the whole answer if the environment itself is unhealthy. Maybe telling someone to practice self-care doesn't solve a toxic management issue. Maybe sending someone to counseling doesn't automatically fix an organizational culture that keeps creating stress. And that is important because we have turned mental health into this thing where every solution is directed to that individual, right? Your stress, meditate. You're burnt out, take a vacation. You're overwhelmed, journal. You're irritated, breathe. life is not that simple, right? All great practices, obviously. And we're going to talk about those things today. But sometimes the correct question is simply, what is happening around this person that keeps requiring them to recover? What is happening around this person that is requiring them to recover? That's different because I don't want anybody listening today thinking that protect your peace means accepting mistreatment. It does not. I can regulate myself and address inappropriate behavior at the same time. I can pray and document. You understand? I can meditate and establish a boundary. I can protect my mental health and recognize when something in my environment needs to change. And at the end of the day, both of these things can be true. We're going to finish this conversation. When we come back, my good brother, Brother Z, is going to take us to break so we can pay some bills. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Just like that. And just like that, we are back. You are officially tapped in on 101.7 The Truth, the award-winning 101.7 The Truth with your girl, Jazz Tyler. And today is Mental Health Mondays, right? We are talking work. We are talking parenthood, friendships, relationships, all of the above. Before we went to break, I was stating that we have to understand what is happening around us, right? Understand it. Address our feelings, understand what's going on and how to maneuver through it instead of creating a false scenario in our head just to have a reason to walk away, right? And I think for black women specifically, this conversation gets a little bit deeper because sometimes, and I know for me, this is not the case for everybody, but I have had this experience. Sometimes we are told we are strong so often. That strength becomes an expectation instead of a compliment. You got it, Jazz. You'll figure it out. You strong. You always bounce back. You always make a way. And sometimes the strong woman is sitting there thinking, okay, but who said I wanted to have to be strong every 5 minutes, right? And this hits home for me because this is something that I'm told often. Jazz, you're so strong. You're so this, you're so that. So much to the point where subconsciously you begin to adapt this, right? Now, naturally, it's a part of your DNA. It's a part of your nature. Life bring experiences that forces you to have to be strong. It's not by choice, right? It's because you don't have a choice. But ultimately, I think the worst thing you can do, especially with black women who are single mothers and doing this alone, is to tell them that they got it and stay strong, right? That's not a compliment because you're telling me to stay in a mental space of not addressing what I'm really feeling because I need to be strong. We all have to have moments where we are vulnerable, right? And let's be clear, it's not easy being vulnerable these days because people like to use it against you or people like to take advantage of it, right? So that adds another barrier, another layer when it comes to the mental health piece, because now you're like, I don't want to talk to nobody about what I'm going through because I'm afraid that they're going to throw it in my face if ever there's an argument, or because they may use this to their advantage to benefit them and take advantage of my vulnerability. Sometimes I just don't want another lesson. Sometimes I don't want another character building experience. I've been through so many, right? Sometimes I don't want another obstacle that supposedly prepares me for something. Sometimes I just want Monday to be peaceful or Tuesday to be peaceful, right? Can this day just mind its business? Can everybody at work just do their job? Can the kids find their own charger? Can my friend answer a straightforward question with a straightforward answer? Can everybody just act normal for one day, right? Initially, these are the thoughts when you wake up. Today's going to be a good day. That's why I talk about the affirmations so much. When I wake up, I spew out affirmations. I have my students spew out affirmations consistently because there are so many things that sent your way that is unexpected and maybe sent your way to destroy your peace. But because we cannot control that, we have to develop mechanisms that helps us keep our center when everybody else decides that they have lost theirs. And that's what we're going to. We're going to talk about the science. We're going to talk about practical techniques. We're going to talk about boundaries. We're going to talk about workplace stress, parenthood stress, friendship stress, relationship stress. And I'm bringing some spirituality into this as well, because sometimes there's a mental health. There's the mental health work that I can do. And then there's the spiritual work for surrendering what I cannot do. And those are two different things, and I need both. I can't speak for everybody. I'm not talking about a specific religion or whatever the case may be. But 9 times out of 10, you cannot have one without the other. So wherever you are listening to today, in the car or at work, or if you're getting the kids together at home, I just want you to think about one question. What has been taking up too much space in your mind lately? I just had this conversation with my sister over the weekend about being intentional when it comes to the thought process, right? Making sure, especially for creators and people who may have ADHD or people who have multiple things going on at one time, right? It seems almost impossible. It seems almost impossible to have a clear mind because there's always something that needs to be done. From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep, there's always something that needs to be done, always someone that you have to talk to. There's responsibilities. There's so much. So it is difficult to have just a time of the day where you can just sit back and think without any distractions whatsoever, right? Again, when we're talking about mental health, when we're talking about all of relationships, workplace, parenthood, all of the above, the most important thing, first and foremost, is to obviously put you first. And the reason why I say that is because your children, they can't operate correctly, right? Or in a positive manner if you are not in a good headspace. That job, if you stress yourself so much to the point where you passed away, God forbid, they're going to replace you. That's the reality, right? You always have to put yourself first. If that relationship is taxing on you and is bringing so much chaos and confusion mentally, emotionally, and sometimes physically, right? You have to put you first. And putting you first doesn't necessarily mean that you have the right to dismiss reality. I am a person who, my life is peaceful at this age because I've been through so much in my life. And you guys have heard me talk about it multiple times. I was sexually assaulted as a child. I've had breast cancer. I've been divorced and going through breast cancer recovery at the same time. I have to deal with, in different positions I've had, I have to deal with the ego battle with men and sometimes older Black women. When you're dealing with your children, they when they become a certain age, they try to test you to the best of their ability for whatever reason, right? Sometimes you have friends who purposely do things because they feel a way or they're insecure. And these are people you may know for, have known for years and maybe not. But at the end of the day, you have to put yourself first. And what does that look like? That looks like sitting down with yourself and having a conversation and being realistic about things, holding yourself accountable first. You have to, like, I am so big on self-accountability because it's something that teaches me, right? If I can sit there in the moment and say, all right, Jazz, take a look at everything from an objective point of view. Put yourself in this person's shoes, that person's shoes, and then stay in your shoes and try and figure out where you went wrong first before you take a look at where everybody else went wrong. And one of two things happen. The first one is if I find out that I am in the wrong, then I have to suck that up. That's called being an adult. That's called being mature, right? Not creating false scenarios in my head to try and lie my way through something or justify my behavior. I have to check myself first. But number two, if I find out after checking myself that I was not in the wrong, I'm standing on that. Wrong is wrong and right is right. Ultimately, though, the most important thing that I explained is self-accountability. Sometimes we have this thing of, you know, protecting our peace means that we want to get rid of any and everything or any and everyone who was sent to destroy it. But you can't have the yin without the yang. You can't have one without the other. There has to be a balance. There's always good versus evil. And everything you've read, everything you watch, just the way the world is in general, that's life. So if there was nothing sent to destroy you or anything sent to test you, how will you know what you're made of? You have to equip yourself to hold yourself accountable, but also to walk through the fire so that you can come out untouched. It's all a learning lesson. And sometimes, like, I'm really understanding, especially the closer I get to God, the more I understand that it's all a test for me. Sometimes it is a test for other people because some people don't know the anointing that you have over your life and that you are not to be touched. It says, do not touch my prophets and do them no harm. And some people are so egotistic that they think their titles and their relationship with you, the entitlement. I've known her for this many years, or I'm her supervisor, or my mama, she gonna do whatever I ask. The entitlement and the ego often makes them forget that there is another realm that you can see. And some people are highly favored. So, A, you have to be careful when you come for certain people, right? But also, you don't know what someone is going through. We all are trying to maneuver through life, right? With no guide, no blueprint. We all are trying to maneuver through this thing called life. And the only thing we can do is check ourselves first, because what you don't want to happen is you don't want to put yourself in a situation that's going to force you to react a certain way. And then there's consequences behind it. We got to go to break. Coming back, I want to stay on the work part, right? Because new occupational health research is basically saying something workers have been screaming forever. Sometimes you aren't failing to cope. Sometimes the environment needs to change. We are going to unpack the difference between learning emotional regulation and being expected to emotionally regulate yourself through someone else's dysfunction. And I have a question for my sisters, especially. How many extra jobs are you performing at that aren't listed anywhere in your job description? We're getting into the emotional labor next. It's Mental Health Monday. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. One-on-one-seven, the truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. You are officially tapped back into Mental Health Mondays. And before the break, I mentioned this new research coming out around occupational health. The reason it stood out to me is because it challenges something that I think happens constantly, right? Somebody is struggling at work. they are stressed, they are burnt out. Maybe they are anxious every Sunday night before Monday comes. And maybe they are starting to dread opening their emails. Maybe they find themselves becoming physically tense every time a certain person's name appears on their phone. And what do we immediately say? You need better coping mechanisms. Maybe. But what if they are coping with something that shouldn't be happening in the first place? We're talking mental health. We're talking work. We're talking parenthood, relationships, friendships, all of the above. Right now, we're going to focus on work, and then we're going to tap into how to navigate through the mental health when it comes to parenthood, relationships, and friendships as well. This research highlighted this month essentially argues that workplaces need to look at the organizational factors affecting employee well-being instead of treating everyone's mental health problems solely as something happening only inside of that individual employee. So think about how those two differ, right? Question one is, why can't Jasmine handle stress better? Question two is, why does this workplace keep creating conditions that require Jasmine to recover from it? Now we're having a real different conversation, because mental health cannot become a tool people use to normalize unhealthy environments. I don't want somebody telling me to breathe through something they have the ability to stop doing. You keep stepping on my foot, and every time I say you're standing on my foot, you say, have you tried meditation? No, move your damn foot. Then I meditate. How about that? Both things can happen at the same time. And I think the difference between the two is when we talk about protecting our peace, sometimes people here just ignore everything. No, some situations need to be ignored and some situations need to be documented. Some need conversation. Some need management. Some need HR. Some may require somebody eventually leaving the environment. Wisdom is learning the difference. Let me tell you something. By day, I teach on average 80 to 90 students from 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning to 3 o'clock in the evening. I run across 80 to 90 students, and 90% this year are freshmen. And we all know how freshmen are, very immature, right? Very, very, very immature. And some staff members don't have experience working with youth of that age more so than working with, for say, let's say a junior or a senior. So they automatically think whatever is going to happen for the junior or senior is going to happen for the freshman, or you should approach it that way. No, you cannot. It's two completely different age groups, two completely different things. What I mean by that is when people start imposing what works for them because it works for them on you, and then get upset when it doesn't work for you, that becomes a problem. What works for you don't necessarily work for me. You cannot look at everything with the one book mechanism. Like it's, hey, all rules apply to everybody. No, that's not the case. That is not the case. People deal with things differently. People have different experiences. People have different beliefs. And when you combine all of those things together, they start to show. And this becomes especially complicated when the person creating the problem has more institutional power than you. Maybe it's a supervisor. Maybe it's somebody with seniority. Maybe it's somebody with a title. Maybe everybody loves them. Maybe they've been there 20 years and you've been there 2 months. That changes the emotional calculation, because now you are not only dealing with behavior, you are thinking, can they affect my position? Will people even believe me? Will speaking up make it worse? Am I going to be labeled as difficult? Am I making this up? Should I say something? Should I not say nothing? And that mental calculation itself becomes labor, right? Especially if you are someone who has been in certain industries for quite some time, male-dominated industries to be exact, as a woman. When you are in male-dominated industries, you tend to become a little bit more structured. And I don't like the word aggressive, especially when it comes to Black women. But for the lack of a better word, some people may take it as aggression, when really it's not. It's just you about your business and your zero tolerance. And you have to be that way, because when you're working around majority men, right? There's little games that they play, their egos, the pride, all of this stuff. So you have to maneuver a certain way. Then sometimes you end up in positions where you're working around women and it becomes very catty, right? And you have to deal with things a certain way. But at the end of the day, you should never, ever question whether or not what you're feeling is real, because it's a feeling. What you can do is identify what you're feeling in that moment, take a step back, analyze it, analyze the situation to its entirety, and then figure out how to approach it going forward. So let's talk. I want to talk to my sisters. I want to talk to the Black women, right? Because many of us know this feeling. You are trying to determine how direct you can be with somebody without them calling you aggressive. Somebody else can slam their notebook down and they are just passionate. You close yours a little slightly too hard and all of a sudden you're hostile, right? Hey, I was just organizing my paperwork, and then sometimes you start editing stuff. Let me soften the email. Let me add an exclamation point so they know I'm friendly. You ever put that like an exclamation point at the end of a sentence and you didn't think anything of it and they just take it the wrong way? Hey, why? I remember one day I was texting T.I. in Philly. We had a group chat and I put exclamation after a couple of sentences and Philly texted me like, why you yelling? And Tip like, yeah, why you yelling? I'm like, I'm not yelling. I put the explanation point to say like, hey, yeah, like I'm excited, or, you know, like, yeah, it's excitement, not yelling. But I was unaware that there were, courtesy, right, when it comes to text. I had no idea. And again, it could be something as simple as that. I'm guilty of that, right? Somebody can say something and I'll take it completely out of context. And it's like, no, I didn't mean it that way. They're not responsible for how I think. I'm responsible for how I think. So I can't be upset with them. I have to check within myself first. So you put that explanation point after that, right? And there's another part of workplace. That becomes an issue. Then there's another part of workplace mental health we don't always discuss. That's the constant monitoring. You start reading every room, who spoke, who didn't, who looked at you, who didn't look at you. Why did they call a meeting? Why did they say it like that? Why wasn't I included? Why was I copied? Why wasn't I copied? Why didn't she walk past me without speaking? Why did he mumble something? It's just so many different things, right? And the reality is people are in their own world. May not even be thinking about you. May not you like... Like sometimes people are not focused on you, or you are not living rent free in their head. They're just in their own world. And we get offended by that, right? Again, this is something that I'm guilty of. If I walk past somebody that normally speaks to me and they don't speak to me, I'm going to naturally be offended. And then I start feeling away, only for them to be like, man, I didn't even see you right there. I'm sorry. I had so much going on in my mind. I'm trying to find this. I'm trying to figure this out. This person calling me at the same time. And then you step back and be like, dang, I feel bad because I thought that this person was, you know, acting funny towards me. But really, he going through something in his mind. He has a lot going on that it wasn't intentional. So now your brain has become corporate security. You are monitoring everything, and the danger in that follows you home. You don't stop watching for the next problem, even when there is no problem happening. That can exhaust you. That can exhaust you. So here's practice number one today. I call it the behavior over motive. When something happens, deal with what you can actually identify instead of spending hours determining motive. For example, oh, she's jealous of me. Ask yourself what happened. Well, she interrupted me 3 times during this meeting. Okay, that's behavior. Instead of saying, oh, she's trying to sabotage me. What happened? Information I needed was not forwarded to me on 3 occasions. That's behavior. Instead of they don't want me here, what happened? I was excluded from these specific communications. Now we have facts. And I'm telling you, that shift can protect your mental health, because proven motive is exhausting. You don't live in their mind. You don't actually know every reason someone behaves a certain way. And sometimes you are right. Let's be clear. Sometimes you are right. Sometimes maybe they are jealous. Maybe they are intimidated. Maybe they are being malicious. But you still don't have to spend hours psychoanalyzing them. You need to know what happened. Does it require action? And what's the appropriate action? And then move on. That's all you have to do. You don't have to spend, you ever caught yourself and remember something like, I should have said this. Or no, you're doing too much. You are doing too much. When we come back, we are going to finish this conversation. Coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, we are going to, going forward, tap into the relationship piece, the friendship piece, the parenthood, all of the above. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 1017 The Truth. The Truth. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and it is Mental Health Mondays. We are having this conversation because, again, we all know that there are multiple things going on in everyday life, right? There's a time where you can turn up. There's a time where we have a good time. There's a time where we have information. But we have to make sure that we start our week off and our day off with checking our mental health first. And before we went to break, we were talking about how to protect your mental health in the workplace. Now we're going to move a little bit into parenthood, right? Because that's extremely important. But before we do, I want to introduce the spirituality in this. Again, this is not religion, it's spirituality. If it don't apply, let it fly. Discernment does not mean paranoia. If I discern that something doesn't feel right without allowing that feeling to become a full-time investigation, then I'm okay. I can say, God, show me what I need to see and help me not invent what isn't there. That's a mature prayer. Because sometimes when we are already hurt or activated, we start connecting dots that may not actually connect. And other times that pattern becomes crystal clear. So if you are a person who is deeply rooted in spirituality and you understand what I'm talking about, sometimes you can confuse your discernment for emotions. Those are two completely different things. Now, when I discern, my discernment is typically never off. But what I've learned is that sometimes that's the problem. Sometimes that's the problem. And sometimes it's not meant for you to speak about what you know inside, because the facts that the Creator gives you is not anything that someone else can understand unless they are on the same level. So, back. School is back in session. We have new schedules, new teachers, new classmates, new routines, transportation, homework, activities, so on and so on. Everybody waking up early, got to rush out the door. And mental health professionals have been talking this month about anxiety around going back to school, right? One pediatric psychologist recently made a point that I liked when I was looking this up this past weekend. The goal for parents isn't necessarily to eliminate every bit of anxiety. It's teaching children you can feel anxious and still cope with what's in front of you. So parents, that's not only a lesson for the children. This is a lesson for us as well, because think about how much of parenting becomes trying to eliminate every uncomfortable emotion for our children's lives. We don't want them scared. We don't want them disappointed. We don't want them nervous. We don't want them hurt. We don't want them embarrassed, right? And obviously, we want to protect our babies, but emotional resilience doesn't mean I never experienced discomfort. It means I learned that discomfort does not mean I'm incapable. That's a major lesson. Your child can say, I'm nervous about school. And instead of don't be nervous, there's something to be nervous about. Maybe it's I understand that you are nervous, because new things can feel uncomfortable. What part feels the hardest? And these are simple things, right? These are things that we're like, yeah, you know, that's not important. But I'm telling you it is. I'm telling you from not only a parent stance, but as an educator. There are so many different students that I have personally who have no social skills whatsoever. They have not been equipped with social skills. And we all know how awkward it can be transferring to a new school or coming from middle school to high school. Especially in today's society, you have to enter a space that is new to you, You have to enter a space where you are in a higher grade, so there's more expectations, right? There's all type. Can I make new friends? Can I not? There's so many different things that our babies go through mentally when it comes to preparing for school. And we don't pay attention to it because we just know we got to go to work and they have to go to school. And then when a principal and the teachers get to calling you because they misbehave you or something is happening, you can't put two and two together where they've already tried to talk to you and tell you that something was wrong when school first started. Not necessarily something, somebody did something to them, but they were nervous or they felt uneasy or they feel uncomfortable in this environment, and then we ignore it. For me personally, my children going back to school was always nerve-wracking because, A, safety, right? There's a lot that's happening. School shootings, fighting, all of the above, right? But most importantly, it's the social skills piece. It's how they interact with other students, how they interact with the teachers, how well do they get along with their classmates. That plays a major part. That plays a major part. And why is that important? Because if they don't got it together, you're going to have to leave work early to go pick them up. You can act like it's not a big deal, but it is. You're going to get those phone calls, those emails, those text messages. If you're on Class Dojo, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Right? So our baby's mental health matters while they're in school as well because it affects us also. Nobody has time to be on the phone with teachers 24/7. You have to start addressing these things ahead of time. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't know if y'all been paying attention or researching it, but suicide rates for high school students is at an all-time high. I can't make this up. At some point, we have to make sure that our students, our children are prepared mentally before they... School to them is like work to us. Think about how you feel when you walk in a workplace. You don't want to feel anxious or uneasy, so why shouldn't them going into school not feeling that matter? That should matter. It does matter. And we don't have enough conversations about it, and then we wonder why our children act the way that they do because no one sees them. No one is seeing what's going on inside of them. We're so busy caught up in what we have going on. And you have a lot of parents that's like, you can't tell me how to raise my kids. You can't tell me nothing about who know my kids better than me. Some of y'all don't know y'all babies at all. Some of y'all don't know who y'all children is whatsoever, let alone what they're feeling. You ever seen those posts like somebody, you know, took their own life? Oh, man, I didn't understand. I don't understand. I bet you don't, because you didn't take the time to look beneath the smiles and everything else. All you're doing is paying attention to, I got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. Everything isn't about money. Everything isn't about you. So when you pour into your mental health, make sure that you are also pouring into your children's, right? Now, on another note, we know everybody's schedule. We know everybody's sizes, doctor's appointments, who need what for school, what permission slip needs to be signed, all of the above. And the most, right? I don't know about y'all in y'all house, but I'm so sick of these kids going through these chargers every 5 minutes. Ma, can I see your charger? Ma, can I use your charger? Ma, let me get your charger. Ma, my battery on 2%. Ma, I'm in the middle of a game. Da-da-da. Leave me alone. Mental health is real in the household when you have children because you don't have time for yourself. But that's motherhood. You are carrying all of this invisible data in your head, and then you are going to work. And then you come home from navigating adults at your job and walk into a house full of people who need something from you. And sometimes you don't have one answer, two answers. You don't have an answer at all. That doesn't mean you don't love your children. For the woman who feels guilty, being tired of being needed does not mean you are tired of your children. Those are two completely different things. You can deeply love motherhood and still need 20 minutes where nobody says your name. You know that you are depleted when you start hearing mama, right? And it's a different type. They say it in different type of ways. Ma, ma, mama, mama. Now that's the emergency mama. Right? When you hear that, mama, mama, that means something is wrong. Or at least you assume something is wrong, and 9 times out of 10 it's not. Then you be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Oh, can I have some juice? What? You done did all? Listen, at the end of the day, us women, we do feel guilty. And sometimes the men do too when it comes to raising children, because we need time to ourselves. Y'all better do like me. I go in the bathroom quick to get away from my kids. I don't even be having to use the bathroom. I just go in the bathroom. That's the only place. When they get to call up my name too much, I'm going right to the bathroom. I promise you, ain't got to do a number one or a two, but I'm going to act like I do so they can leave me alone. Listen, Linda, listen. Leave me alone, right? Leave me alone. When possible, I know every household is different. Before you fully move from employee mode to mom mode, give yourself transition. Maybe 10 minutes in the car, maybe one song, maybe changing clothes immediately, maybe a quick shower, maybe sit silently, maybe go to the bathroom like me. But allow yourself to have a transition. Y'all, please hear me when I say this. This is something that we don't really talk about. Because you are going from one job to the next. Being a mother or a father or a guardian is a job. And we hop in these modes so frequently. And then next thing you know, whatever piss you off at work, you're taking it out on the children. Or if your children did something to you, by the time you dropped them off at school, you taking it out on your coworkers. Allow yourself to have a transition time when you are hopping from one mode to the next, because that's how you create better outcomes for both parties. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler.